Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Chris Krueger, Program Manager for Educational Content with the Davis Finney Foundation. And I'm excited to be here today with Dr. Daniel Korkos, Professor of Physical Therapy and Human Movement Sciences at Northwestern University. Dr. Korkos is the principal investigator of the SPARX3 trial, which is a clinical trial exploring the effects of exercise on Parkinson's. Dr. Korkos, can you just give us a quick overview of the SPARX3 trial and just describe what it's investigating?
I can. And first of all, Chris, thank you very much for inviting me to talk about SPARX3. SPARX3 is a phase 3 clinical trial which has been designed to answer the question, is there an additional benefit to exercising at high intensity? We know that everybody benefits from endurance exercise. If you go out for a walk, it's good for you. If you walk a little faster, it's good for you. It's good for your heart. It's good for your lungs. We've known this for a long, long time. And it turns out that it's good for everybody, not just whether you have Parkinson's disease or not. What we really don't know is if you work at a higher intensity, and we'll define that as an increase in heart rate. You can think about it as walking more quickly or even running if you're very fit. If that increase in heart rate gives you an additional benefit to just walking out, to working out at a moderate intensity.
Okay, so this is a little hard for me to understand sometimes, because as a person with Parkinson's, the first thing I was told almost when I was diagnosed was that we knew exercise was going to help me. And so I did that, you know, and it does seem to help, but it is a little hard to gauge where the lines are. How hard should I go? What should I do? And so this trial is looking at aerobic exercise, and we're trying to see what intensity gives me the best benefit. But what's the background information on this? What do we already know? What information, what previous research is informing the design of SPARX3 in the way you're trying to investigate this question of how intense should the exercise be for the best benefit?
That's a great question. There has been many, many studies on animals. Animal research is referred to as preclinical research, whereby a lesion is made in the basal ganglia of an animal. The animal is then exercised and the animal does much, much better. And the literature here is really quite compelling. There have been many small studies over the years comparing moderate, for example, 60 to 65% peak heart rate with a higher intensity. And they suggest quite strongly that there is a benefit of exercising at a higher heart rate, closer to 85%. There have been 3 studies performed recently. I was the PI of a phase 2 clinical trial. A study was conducted in Holland, published in 2019, and a study was published in Hong Kong, providing further evidence that there is an additional benefit of working out at a higher intensity, defined as a higher peak heart rate. And the idea here is that to date, there is no disease-modifying drug. We don't have a clear way to protect neurons. The best chance at the moment would appear to be doing high-intensity endurance aerobic exercise.
Okay, so it sounds like the research has led us to think that previous research has led us to believe that exercise is helpful. There's some suggestion that higher intensity exercise is more helpful. And you just said something that's very important. And I just want to see if you can comment a little more about it. The extra benefit you're thinking is worth looking into, worth exploring whether it exists, is whether higher intensity exercise gives a little bit of potentially neuroprotective effect. Is that what I just understood you to say?
That's exactly what you understood me to say, okay? The best evidence at the moment, if one really does want a neuroprotective disease modifying effect, would come from endurance aerobic exercise. Now, the problem at the moment is the studies have all been small, relatively small sample size. They've all been conducted at 1 or 2 or 3 institutions only. And so this limits the generalizability of studies. And so Spark 3 is a much larger study, and it is designed to test the hypothesis that there is an added benefit of exercising at the high intensity.
Okay, so maybe we need to talk about brass tacks a little bit. So what is this? What is going to happen if I join this trial today? What am I going to do in the trial? What's it going to look like for me as a participant?
As a participant, you will be randomized to one of two exercise intensities. You'll either be randomized to 60 to 65% peak heart rate, which is very good for one. I want to stress this. At the moment, we really don't know. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing the study. Alternatively, you would be randomized to an 80 to 85% peak heart rate. And our hope is there is an additional benefit for exercising at the higher intensity. You would exercise for 18 months. You would exercise four times a week on a treadmill, warm up 5 minutes, exercise 30, warm down for 5 minutes. And at the end of 18 months, we will follow you for 6 months to see what happens. One possibility is people carry on doing exactly what they've been doing. Another possibility is they change their behavior. And we're really interested in seeing what happens at 18 months.
Okay, so where is this happening? If I was going to participate, am I going to a study center? And I understand there's many of them in North America, or am I doing that at home? How do I do this? Where do I go?
Well, first of all, you would have to contact one of the 25 centers. So Spark 3, as a phase 3 clinical trial, has a lot of centers. This means we can generalize to all parts of America. We have a great site in Canada, so we want to generalize. Then, if you are eligible for the study, and one important eligibility criteria is that you have not yet taken dopaminergic medication, if you are eligible for the study, you'll then be given the option to either exercise at the center, which very few participants avail themselves of, or we will pay for you to exercise at a local gym, YMCA, or we will purchase for you a treadmill. Currently, about half the people exercise at an exercise facility, gym, YMCA, and the other half have had a treadmill purchased for them, and they exercise at home.
Well, I guess it's good for me that I'm on a stable course of levodopa, but it's bad for me because I could have gotten a free treadmill, I guess.
Well, that is true. There is a free treadmill going, and they're quite expensive. You would actually get a nice treadmill.
Okay, so how does somebody find out more about this study? I mean, where should they go, and what is the step if somebody wants to know more?
Well, the best way is to go and look at the webpage. The webpage, which will be made available through David Spinney. The webpage lists all 25 sites. It has coordinators listed at all 25 sites, and it has a central coordinator. And even if you're a little distant from any of the major sites, we have ways to help you get to the site. And we have people many, many miles outside Portland, outside Boston, outside Chicago, who are still taking part. So don't automatically think you're too far away.
Okay, so that's important. Even though the centers, there's 25 of them, you said, that are around North America, you don't have to be in the neighborhood, so to speak. There's ways that the study is going to help people access the sites that they need to access. And how many times would I be going to the center, like, as a requirement? I know you said I could go there to exercise every time, but how often do I have to go to the center?
Well, you have to go for your baseline assessment, 3 months assessment, 6, 12, 18, and 24 months assessment. And at the beginning, we like people to come to the center to make sure that, one, they're comfortable on a treadmill. Not everybody is, and we have a lot of expertise. Single most important part of any clinical trial is safety and well-being of the person. So if a person is really comfortable on a treadmill, they may not need to come in too many times. We have a modicum of flexibility in the number of visits, but they're really driven by safety. So if a person is a little bit unsteady on a treadmill to begin with, then they may need to come in 3, 4, 5 times till they reach a point of being steady. We want no falls.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I would also, for me, I don't know what I would personally do. I know that when I've participated in clinical trials in the past, one of the best things that's happened for me personally has been just being more exposed to experts and having more time in a clinic with somebody who can really help me understand what's going on with my experience. So I don't know if I would choose to go in as often as more often than I was required to or not, but it is something that I think would be an important consideration. And it sounds like there's flexibility built into the design of the trial so people can have a little bit of whatever's best for them so they can participate.
There is a little bit of flexibility built in, and you've also hit on a key point. The people involved in SMARCS 3 really, really, really care about people and the well-being of people with Parkinson's disease. They happen to be particularly nice, and the feedback we get for people taking part in the study has been very, very good. People have enjoyed taking part. Maybe enjoyed for one or two would be too strong a word if you're listening in and you didn't really enjoy it, but there's universal. I have yet to hear of somebody who didn't say that it didn't help them. And you're right, there's a lot of learning that goes on because people with any disease happen to probably talk about it a little bit, and you do get a chance to talk about it with experts. And we have experts. We are working with all the best sites in the country and one great site in Canada.
Well, excellent. Thank you for sharing this information. And I can say that, for me, exercise has been helpful, although I don't know exactly what's the best thing for me to do. So I'm excited to see what the results of this trial, show us and what we learn from it as a community. And just before we wrap up, is there anything else that we should know about SMARCS 3?
I just want to pick up on the last comment that you made. The real advantage of doing a study on 370 people is that it is quite possible that some people thrive on a higher intensity and others thrive on a lower intensity. There are some people who just feel really great when they go and exercise quite hard. Imagine it's a dopaminergic high, if you like, and other people never really quite feel that. And what we'll be able to do, because we've got so many people, we'll be able to really look at individual differences. And so it may turn out that at the end of the day, not only do we show that one treatment is better than the other, but for a subset of people, a lower dose or a higher dose actually is better. And so the big advantage of phase 3 clinical trials is that you have lots and lots of people. And so you learn how all different types of people respond to the exercise. And so I would encourage people to take part if they can. There will be a benefit to you, I'm sure. 2 years of endurance exercise can only do one good. And there'll be a benefit to the next generation of people with Parkinson's disease as well. And that, I think, is clear.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all the information you shared, and we'll put a link to the site, to the study locations and the study website in the description in the video below. So if you're looking for that, please look in the description and you'll find a link there. Thank you, Dr. Korkos, for your time.
Thank you, Chris. I'd like to thank you personally for being so helpful in preparing me for this, and I'd also like to thank Davis Finney, whose work on behalf of people with Parkinson's disease is really quite special.